Well, good evening, everyone. Evening. It's not evening. Good morning, everyone. There's light shining through the windows, and I can't even tell. Let's stand and turn to page 322. 322. Stand up for Jesus. That's why we can't sing this sitting down. All right, let's sing all three verses.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every bow is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Let's sing the second.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Amen. Well, amen. Good to see you this morning. We're excited about what the Lord may do this morning, and we're looking to Him, of course, to work in each and every one of our hearts. It's good to see these young people back. I've heard good reports of camp, but they look rather tired. I don't know. The little boys were staying at our house last night, and they turned in, and that was it. I had to wake them up this morning, and waking up teenagers is fun. That's good. Well, it's fun. Good to be here this morning. We're thankful for each and every one of you and all the visitors that are with us today as well. We appreciate the Lord leading you our way. Trust that we will be a blessing to you. What we want to do right now is just welcome each other. Take a couple minutes and church family, make sure you get around to our visitors and welcome each other in the Lord.
Okay, as you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to page 150. 150. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Sing the last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Please be seated. Stand one more time and let's turn to page 435. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Amen.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. The floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart,
I shall go there to dwell.
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
You may be seated.
Just another quick apology. Our projectors are still down today. Still a little technical issue there. They're trying to figure out. Hopefully we'll get them back very soon. But appreciate your understanding in that.
All right, Jim, if you'll take your places to receive this morning's offering, go over a few announcements. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for praying for us, and I really truly hope that y'all did pray for us, and I feel you did. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all were prayed for, each and every one of you. So thank y'all very much. You can now take those cards, put them in your flower gardens, keep the bugs away, the birds away, or whatever you want to do with them. But I would encourage you to keep them and continue to pray for them. So, anyway, thank y'all. Y'all come back tonight, and you'll hear the detailed story of everything that took place. We had an adventure on the way there, and the kids didn't realize it until this morning. We had an adventure on the way back, and a lot of adventures in between then. So that was very good. Tonight, if you also come back, you'll see our graduating seniors this year. We will be having a reception immediately after church tonight for them in the gym, and we'll have sandwiches and finger foods or something like that, I think, to go with it. But come by and wish them congratulations on the work that they've done to get this far. So you got a church work day Saturday the 18th. That's this Saturday, right?
Work.
Yes, sir. It says from 8 o'clock till it's finished. See, Brother Ronnie and Brother Robert about all the questions that as far as that's concerned. Next Sunday we'll be having a send off for Andrew Martin. He's fixing to move down toward Houston. And it's going to be his last Sunday with us, I suppose, unless it's for visits or whatever. And believe it or not, I'm going to have him working that day. I'm going to have him teaching Sunday school for us. So I'm excited about that, but I'm going to be sad that he's going leaving. Ladies Fellowship, June 21st. See Ms. Marsh for any details on that. 4th of July is around the corner. We're going to have that at Brother C.R.'s house. There's a sign-up sheet in the back to say who's coming. That way you know how to prepare. And I'm told if you do not like lemonade, to bring your own drinks. And I think, was it chips and a dessert or something like that? Anyway, talk to Miss Teresa, or Miss Sandra, Miss Marcia, or somebody on that one. They got the details on that. Right around the corner also is our VBS. It's going to be Hooked on Jesus. And we still need some volunteers for teaching and that aspect. We need some help there also. This is for our young kids. It's going to be 4 years old through sixth grade. This is going to be evening time VBS. It's not going to be during the early part of the day. It is we're going to have it for our church, but it's not going to be just for our church. It's one of those things. Hey, if you know somebody that has a child at that age, invite them, ask them, bring them in. And we'd like to see that. We also have sign-up sheets in the back for the volunteers and for the kids also. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today. Lord, thank you for a wonderful week. Lord, right now we're asking you to be at the offering about to receive, at the gift and the giver. Lord, right now we're asking you to be at the preacher. Lord, hide him behind the cross, Lord, and please, Lord. Take the words out of his mouth and you put your words in it. Give him what you want him to say. Lord, he's studied up and he's prayed up. Now he needs your help. Lord, excuse me, be with us to hear the word. Help us receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It took a lot of faith to step out of the boat onto the crashing waves, looking to your hope. And just when faith begins to fade, he holds out his hand and calms the waves around you, because he understands in the middle of it all. He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trial. He is right there for you, and in the middle of it all, he'll see you through.
It takes a lot of courage to stand up straight and tall, and when you're faced with a Goliath, yet you heed the call. And when you let the stone go flying, you close your eyes and pray. The giant falls down at your feet. Give God all the praise.
It doesn't really matter the problems you may face, how big or how small,
is just a test of faith. So if you're walking in the fire, or facing death in the lion's den, there's nothing he can't handle. So put your trust in him in the middle of it all. He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trial. He is right by your in the middle of it all, he'll see you through. Yes, in the middle of it all, he'll see you through.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Men, indeed, we appreciate the steadfastness, the dependability of our God. Regardless of the struggle or the trial, He's right there with you. To me, whatever the need might be, indeed. You can be turning, if you would, this morning to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Might sound strange. I'm not saying Genesis, whatever, huh? Mark chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 28 of that chapter. I'd ask you to stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. You don't stand on my behalf, but reverence and respect to the good Word of God and the God of the Word. Familiar passage, praying that God might speak to our hearts out of it today. Mark chapter 12, I'm beginning to read in verse 28. It says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoning together." Again, the reasoning was between the Lord Jesus Christ and a group of Sadducees trying to trick Him up in His teaching. This reasoning together and perceiving, the scribe perceived that He had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is another commandment greater than these." The scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Father, we bow before you this once again. And Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, name of your beloved Son, that you might be pleased to stir in our hearts today. As has been prayed already, I'd ask you that you get the preacher out of the way, that we would very clearly, very obviously be listening to you, Lord, to you as you'd speak to us out of the truth of your word. Indeed, as the scribe confesses, you always answer well. And Lord, I pray for those who may be here in our midst today, do not have that hope of eternity, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, Lord, I'm asking you again in that name, the lovely name, the powerful name the saving name of your Son to work in those hearts. Lord, please do what this preacher has no ability to do. Reveal to them Jesus, His love for them. They might be drawn savingly, beautifully to You. Father, I pray for every believer in this room as well. Ask You, Father, that You'd be pleased to stir in our hearts in a tremendous way, a mighty way, Father. Pray that indeed we would go from this place having or being able to say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord and with our God. And so, Father, again, thank You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. The message has been stirring around in my heart for a couple of weeks. I have to confess, it's kind of personal for me. Maybe you've thought about a question I'm going to ask at some point in your life. I confess that I've asked it many times. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love God? When we think about God, when we read from Scripture, indeed, as we read here, that we are to love Him, what does it mean? What does it mean? How do I love God? How can a mere human love Almighty God of glory? Some might answer, well, you love God by going to church. You love God by giving. You love God by tithing. You love God by doing this or doing that. And that list could go on and on, dear ones. And those are certainly good things, right things, concerning serving God. But I'm not talking about serving God. I'm not talking about our doing. I'm talking about loving. I'm talking about loving God. And I'm convinced that indeed, if I truly love God, all those things that we might list would be present. They would be a reality in my life. But I think we all understand that we can do absolutely everything just right, have every I dotted, every T crossed perfectly and beautifully, and still not really love God. Not only do I want to love God, but the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read here, commands me to love God. The scribe, as we look at this passage, asked Jesus, what is the first commandment? And essentially, he's saying, what is the greatest commandment? What is the foremost commandment? What is the first commandment that I should give attention to? And Jesus, of course, responds in verses 29 and 30, where we read already. It says, and Jesus answered him, The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now in these two verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is repeating, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. He's reiterating here what God had commanded Moses to teach to the children of Israel. That indeed our God is one Lord. One Lord. It's interesting in that passage in Deuteronomy, it's Jehovah is Elohim. The great, ever-existing God, Jehovah, is the Elohim. And we've shared before that name Elohim is the, interestingly, get this, the plural name for God. And that the verse rings with that truth. The Lord our God is one Lord. And indeed, speaking of that amazing, might I even say baffling, truth of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. with those words, it's possible that my heart might even grow to struggle more. Not only do I sense that responsibility, that need to love God, but then add to that the very Word of God, the Spirit of God, the God Himself commands me to love Him. But not only do I want to love God as Jesus commands me to love God, and you might say, preacher, you're talking in circles. You're sounding goofy this morning. Well, that's not too unnatural for me. Beloved, I want more than just a mechanical Christianity. I want more to my relationship with Christ than just simply obeying a command. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength. Yes, Lord, help us. What's the answer? Well, I think the answer can be found in the Lord Himself, our God Himself. Our God is the Creator. Our God is the one that fashioned you and I out of the dust of the earth. Our God is the one that breathed the breath of life into us. And our God is the one that created us the way we are. And He created us with an ability to love. He created us in His own image. Created this in His own image. Oh my. He's created us with that capacity to love. And our love for God is to be, as we read here, an undivided love. An undivided love. It is not to be split between God and the world. It's not to be split between God and our entertainments. It's not to be divided, period. Lord, help us. We read here, we're to love God with all our heart. With all our heart. Oh my. I'm to love God with the full extent of my heart. The full extent, every bit of my emotions are to love God. What a statement, isn't it? What a statement concerning our heart. But you know what, beloved? I have a problem with my heart. I have a problem with my heart. I don't know about you, but my own heart lies to me. My heart is deceptive, and by the way, so's yours. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, those familiar words we've read them, quoted them, where the prophet declaring under the Holy Spirit of God that the heart is deceitful above all things. Isn't that, that's an interesting statement. He does not say simply that our heart is deceitful, but he says that it's deceitful above all things. I don't know what to get from that except that my heart is the worst of all liars. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Not only does my heart lie to me, in reality, if I believe the Word of God, it tells me that I don't even know my own heart. That's kind of tough, isn't it? We think we know ourselves pretty good. Maybe we don't know as much as we think. If we put some things in the right perspective, maybe it will help us to love God with that undivided heart. We see here from the Word of God that to love God, we must, and I don't want to make this simplistic, but if I'm going to love God, I need to value Him. I need to esteem God. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, and verse 21, those simple words, again, words that we've heard many times, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Huh? What's Jesus saying to us? What you value, what you esteem highly in this world, has your heart. We'll love what is important to us, beloved. We love what is important to us. We love what we value, what we esteem as precious and important. Why do relationships fall apart? I think we have the answer right there, don't we? Our value of the other person goes down. In some way, our estimation of their value has somehow suffered. It's gone down. And the relationship is not what it used to be or what it could be, or definitely not what it should be. Why do I love someone? The other side of the coin. Why do I love someone? Why? Because I value them. They are important to me. I value them. I'm going to make this one statement and go on to the next point. Or one question. How much do we value God? How much do I value my God? Secondly, trying to understand how I can love God. To love God, we must delight ourselves in Him. Find our delight in Him. I know that's kind of related to what we've already said, but I need to value God, esteem Him, hold Him precious. But also, beloved, I need to find my joy in Him, my delight in Him. David writes in Psalm 13 and verse 5, "My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation." My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. What's David saying? We need to delight ourselves, find our joy in our God. He saved me. I find my joy. I rejoice in that salvation. Do we rejoice in the things of God? Do we rejoice in our God? Or is, now listen, this is, I'm not trying to point at you or me or whoever, but beloved, this gets a little bit tighter now. I'm afraid of a lot of this, the things of God. I'll say it this way, the things of Christ can get to be a drag. Huh? Get to be a drag to us. I think many folks are just barely hanging on in the Christian life because their heart doesn't rejoice in God. Their heart has no joy in the Lord. In the Lord. They're trying to find joy in all sorts of things, but find very little joy in the Lord Himself, in their God. Oh my, they live. Can I say it this way? They kind of live in the minor key. You know, it's like that character in the Peanuts comic strip. Always got the cloud over them. Huh? So many of us, we just have a hard time finding or enjoying God. Hey, rejoice in the Lord. Always. David says, or Paul says, and again I say, rejoice. In Psalm 19, verse 8, David says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Beloved, you and I who know Christ ought to rejoice in the things of God. The Word of God should bring joy to us. Statutes of the Lord. All right. Rejoicing the heart. Indeed, the Word of God should give us joy. But thirdly, oh Lord, help us to love You. Our heart might love Him more if we trust Him. Oh my, we spent 6 months following the pilgrimage of Abraham in that journey of faith where he got to the place. And beloved, I was sharing with one of the men this week, and I taught through the life of Abraham and in days gone by, but this time through, God did something fresh in me. I've not got over Mount Moriah yet, beloved. I've not got over the kind of faith that Abraham displayed on Mount Moriah. I can't get it out of my heart that a man could believe, a man could trust God to the extent that Abraham did, that he could trust God to the very point of holding that knife above his son. And a moment later, would have had that knife plunged into his son's body. And as I was speaking with one of the men, and we were speaking, that it wasn't just him plunging a knife into his son, but that he'd taken his son up Mount Moriah to sacrifice him there as a burnt sacrifice. That Abraham indeed believed with all his heart that God be pleased to keep His promise to Abraham. He was going to raise Isaac up out of the ashes to fulfill His promise. To fulfill His... That, beloved, is a faith. It's a faith that I'm trying to get a grip on. Love God with all your heart. You know, there's no way you'll ever love someone you don't trust. Huh? You'll never truly love someone you don't trust. But I'm so thankful to be able to stand before you today and tell you that you can put your wholehearted trust in God. He's worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your love. But then we see as well that both Deuteronomy chapter 6 and our passage here in Mark speaks that we're also to love God with all our soul. All our soul. The soul is the real me, the inner man. The soul is that self, that self-consciousness. The soul is who we really are. And we're told here to love God with our soul. All our soul. The soul is defined as we said, as the inner man, that invisible part of us. We said last week, you're not your body, you just live in your body. Your soul is the resident of this earthly tabernacle until the day we leave it behind and either go to eternity to be with Jesus or spend eternity under the wrath and judgment of God. Our soul had a beginning, but it has no end. It's this part of me is to love God as well. This part of me is to love God totally as well. Beloved, not just with words, not just with what people can hear and see of Jim Turner, but I'm to love God with all that I am. The real me. The me that only I and God knows about is to love Him as well. Yes, we need to love God with our inner man, the real me. And that man, my soul, should long for God. Long for God. Have a desire for God. Have a longing for God. I love those words from Psalm 42. Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. Oh, it's terrific. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul. My soul panteth after Thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, for God. Beloved, in the same way, as that tired and thirsty deer after a long run would long for the refreshing drink from the water brooks, so should my soul thirst for God. So should my soul pant for the things of God and my God. What possesses that place in your life? What possesses that place in your heart and in your life that you long for more than anything else? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that. You know, the drug addict is possessed. He's controlled by the drugs that he longs for. The adulterer is possessed by his lust. And the list could go on of those things that possess and control folks. A desire, beloved, is that is spiraled out of control. Might I pray that my soul would become addicted to God? That my soul control would be out of control for God. That I'd long for Him and want Him more than anything else. It's been said that to know Him, to know God, to know Him is to love Him. And to love Him is to serve Him. But doesn't stop there. The quote goes on to say, it wouldn't be loving without. It wouldn't be love without. To know Him is to love Him. How well do I know Him? How well do we know our God? Do we know Him? And beloved, listen. I believe that if we thoroughly know this God, the God of this book, we love Him with all our soul, with everything that we are. We love Him. We love Him. But then thirdly, we also see that the Lord Jesus Christ instructs us that we're to love God with all your mind. With all your mind. In verse 33, the scribe, it tells us here that he understood what Jesus was saying. Because he goes on and he says that it's to love God with all your understanding. And indeed, to love God with all your mind is to love Him with all your capacity to think, your intellect, or maybe the lack thereof. Jesus is referring to our thought life. Our thoughts. Our thoughts. That part of me that thinks things through and reasons through things and works things out. That part of our being that reckons. Our part of our being that plans. It is that part of our being that has an understanding of what's going on around us. To think. To think. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 2, the Apostle Paul's writing to those folks there in the city of Colossae, the church there, and he instructs them, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that word affection doesn't refer in that case to our emotions, our heart. But it's the idea of our thoughts. Our thoughts. Set your affections. Now again, as we think of that, the affections, in many ways, are the outworking of our emotions, aren't they? That which affects us has the focus of our affections. Set your affections, set your understanding, set your thinking upon things above. The things of glory is what Paul's saying. And not the things of earth. Oh, beloved, the powers of my mind are to be directed to love for God. The powers, the abilities of my mind are to be directed in love for God. Very quickly, just to think about it. How much time in a day do we think about our God? Think about Him. The Bible tells me that He ever thinks about me. That you're always on His mind. You think about Him, meditate about Him. The boys last night were saying some of the preaching that was about this idea, this truth of meditating. Meditating on the things of God. Letting it ruminate around in our heart and our thinking. Meditate about Him. Reason about the things of God. Brother C.R. was telling me about being at a car show with his grandson, and he was able to sit down with some folks that he used to visit with years ago, and him and Margie go to those car shows, and he said it used to be the subject matter as they sat around would be their cars and all these things. And as CR and Margie and another couple started going to the church service that they'd have there at the car show, some of those others began joining them. And along the way, most, if not all of them, got saved. He was with them this weekend. And he said, "Preacher, it was... they weren't talking about cars as they sat around. They were talking about the Lord." Reason about Him. Talk about Him. Right? We direct our conversations. We need to plan around the things of God. Beloved, I know we're getting into summer, and I know it's vacation season and all that. That's good. It's good to get away. But how much of our plans are focused on God? When we make our plans, how much of it centers around Him and the things of God? I believe that we have a God that wants to continually show us, teach us, and help us if we'll give ourselves to Him. I love this statement from Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. This is tremendous. I'm thankful for this promise. Where God says, "Call unto me. Call unto me." And again, beloved, we'll not call out to our God if we're not thinking about Him. If He's not on our mind. If He's not part of our life and our plans. But the prophet says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." And listen to this. Listen to what God says He'll do. He says, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Beloved, I want God to keep teaching me. I want to keep growing in Him. I want my relationship with Him to be deeper and sweeter and closer all my life. With every moment, with every day of my life, I don't want to go to bed tonight the same place I was last night with God. I want to grow in Him. And oh my, enjoy Him the more all along the way. Powers of my mind to be directed in love for God. My mind to be concentrated on heavenly things, as we read earlier. Heavenly things. Just a couple of verses and we'll go on. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, get this, and the promise that goes with when we set our mind and our affections, our relationship on God. Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." What? "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Beloved, you give the affections of your mind to the things of God. In that relationship with God, what's His promise? "I'll be right there to give you peace." Trust me and I'll give you peace. Philippians 4 verse 7, a companion verse to Isaiah 26, 3. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. Keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Our mind be concentrated on heavenly things. Love God with all your mind. The last area Lord Jesus Christ mentions for our love, and this I purposely chose the Mark passage because he incorporates, he adds this to the record. We're to love God with all your strength. Love God with all our strength. This word strength has to do with your ability. Your ability. Love God with all of our ability. All that we are capable of. Well, there's some things we need to think about there. To love God, we would think, that means specifically to love God with all our physical strength. Beloved, I think it includes that to some degree, of course. The Scripture mentions this point last. But it seems this is where we put the focus. The preacher's not supposed to say it this way because I'm always supposed to be pushing folks to get involved and work. Serve God. But if we get it in God's order, when we love God with all our heart, we love God with the real me. We love God with every bit of our mind. Then the service for Him will just come. We'll serve God out of that love. In fact, we'll love to serve God. We need to do indeed love God with our physical strength. But when you think about even that, beloved, that's a pretty shallow well. My physical strength plays out pretty quick. And quicker every day. Loving God is more than just working for Him. Serving Him. And so often in this Christian life, we can put that, as we said, first. Emphasize the service, emphasize the work, when we should be focusing on our love. Focusing on our heart for Him. The work will take care of itself. We'll be there to serve Him when we love Him, right? Believe the Lord has something more in mind for us than just working for Him out of duty. Indeed, we need to serve Him with our... I'll say it this way, hopefully you understand. Not merely our physical strength, but we need to love our God with our God-given strength. Our God-given ability. With a capacity to serve Him that He gives us. When heart, soul, mind love God, there'll be God-given strength. We need to plunge. We need to dive into the strength, the love that God has promised to us and provided for us. We have, beloved, listen to this. We have an endless supply, an endless reserve of strength living in us. Living in us. Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jim Turner doesn't have much ability. Jim Turner doesn't have much strength. But the God of glory has all the strength I could ever possibly need. All the fortitude, all the stamina, all the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ is at our disposal. He lives in me, we sang earlier. Christ liveth in me. What lack can we have there of ability and strength? Oh my. How do we love God? How do we love Him? You know one mistake we'll never make? Are you listening? One mistake you will never make is to love God too much. We can never love God too much. I was a little taken aback many, many years ago. This is probably well over 30 years ago. I was the first church it was in, and you know, we can all get in the flesh at one point or another, you know, anyone, any person. And I remember I was standing in the back of the church. I was just a young fella. Those days are long gone. Just a young fella there, and there was another young man came in and was talking, and he went off, and our pastor turned around and he said, "That guy's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." Did you ever hear somebody say that? I looked at my pastor and I thought, did those words come out of your mouth? That's not my problem, folks. Well, none of your business. I've been saved a long time. Now, you know that I'm about 64. I'm saved 42 years. I've never got to the place that I'm too heavenly minded. I ain't even close. It's not my problem. My problem is I'm too earthly minded. I'm too stuck. I'm stuck down too deep in this old earth. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this old earth. It's amazing how the things of this old earth can get straightened out when we put our mind on things above. When our focus and our love and our attention is on the things of God and the things of heaven, it's amazing how the things of this old world seem to melt away. The problems of this life. Oh no, I could stand to be a whole lot more heavenly minded indeed. Beloved, you see, I'm still trying to figure it out. He's worthy of all the love we can give Him. When you said, "Preacher, if I love God the way you're talking, then what would be left for my wife, what would be left for my husband, what would be left for my children, what would be left for others?" But that's the amazing thing about it. The deeper you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fuller, the richer, the sweeter your love will be for others. Be for your spouse. For your family, your children, your love for a lost and dying world. Everything in life will have a different kind of meaning, different meaning to it. We'll be compelled to share that love. We'll fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to long for others to know that love. For others to experience that love. It'll be a compelling thing in our lives. What's the depth of our love for God? If we could measure it, I know we can't. Well, how deep would our love be for God? Our devotion for the one who loved me enough to die for me. Believer, oh, that we'd love God. My friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know where you would spend eternity if you left this life today. As much as I possibly can, I want to commend the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Commend Him to you. Picture the cross, if you would, for a moment. We've seen the movies. We've read what the Scriptures say. Picture the cross. And first of all, even though I say that, I don't think there's a way that Jim Turner and probably you can truly picture just how awful the cross was. How hideous. The tortured and bloody body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was cruelly nailed to that horrible cross. His body ripped, torn, bloody from head to toe. Please picture the cross and understand the Lord Jesus Christ did that because of His love for you. There's one thing that could help me love Him would be to keep that picture fresh. What Jesus did for you, what Jesus did for me. Huh? God so loved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him, believeth in Him shall not perish, shall not spend a Christless eternity under the wrath and judgment of God, but shall have everlasting life. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. And Lord, I ask You to forgive the frail attempts of this preacher to somehow talk about loving You. Lord, I simply ask You, Father, to take up where the preacher fails. Would You communicate the cross to our hearts this morning? Communicate to us Your love, Father. Show us. Lord, Your Word tells us those precious, precious words that You commended Your love toward us. Your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I pray that the picture of the cross, the message of the cross, would do something in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our strength. Pray, Father, that this preacher and this people would commit ourselves to You afresh and anew. But Lord, I pray for that one that may be in our midst today that is yet outside the camp, is yet without Christ, without the hope where they spend eternity. Lord, I pray that You would communicate Your love to their hearts today. Lord, please. Might they sense, might they know that You love them. You love them enough to give Yourself for them. Oh, Lord, please. Please, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, please don't let anyone leave this building today without Christ, without the hope of Christ, without Christ, without Jesus as their Savior. Please, Lord, move through these pews even now as we pray. Might Your Spirit brood over this place and be pleased to breathe life in needy hearts, in needy lives. Oh God, please do for every one of us as believers. Lord, I'm praying that today You'd be pleased to enlarge my capacity to love You. Oh, to love You. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your love for us. Lord, help us to remember every time we pray the words, every time we would say the words, I love You, Lord, because You first loved us. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. Brother John, have a song for us.
Page 215.
Please, folks, these altars are open here. Whatever might be on your heart today, believer, altars are open for you and I as well. My friend, if you're here and don't have that hope, any question in your heart, any question in your mind concerning your relationship to God, we're here for you. Be happy. We'd be thrilled to take you aside and show you what Jesus has done for you. Please, just obey the Lord. Do what He'd say to do.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever us 'tis now.
Amen. Most of you probably, most all of you know that I'm a Rangers fan. I guess that means I'm a Ranger fanatic. Got to go to a Ranger game a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I like going to the games. I like going and, you know, there's somebody clouts a ball and it goes over the fence and everybody shouts and screams and they yell and, they, you know, everybody, man, people are jumping and throw the last pitch, the game's over. Oh, the tool. Wouldn't hurt us to be a little fanatical about the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Wouldn't hurt us to come apart a little bit over Him at times. Huh? Amen. I love You, Lord Jesus.
Be dismissed with our chorus, Count Your Blessings.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
You're dismissed.